Okay, so to follow up on our, oh so happy topic of the current issues in the Catholic Church, we have the issues at John Jay Criminal College. There's something of an ironic connection there, by the way, in that the 2002 reforms that we discussed were based on a report by John Jay College, but this is a different set of authors. So the New York Post had an article a couple of weeks ago by Sarah Dorn and Melissa Klein entitled "College Professors Allegedly Sold Drugs, Pimped Out Students." And it's about several professors at John Jay College, specifically in the Department of Sociology and Anthropology, who seem to, and by the way, before we get any further, I should say that there's some pretty disturbing stuff in there. So if you have like trauma or anything like that, you might want to skip this segment. So it discusses these professors who seem to have kind of thought of themselves as like badasses who are a little bit close to the fields they study. And in the same way that you sometimes think of like vice cops who are also dealing drugs or running prostitutes or something like that.
They walk the line.
Yeah. I mean, they took participant observation a little too far.
Right.
They were drinking and using drugs in their office, maybe selling drugs. It's a little hard to tell exactly what selling drugs means. It doesn't sound exactly like, they're walking down the hallway, muttering under their breath, "What you need, what you need." It sounds more like, there was a bunch of people who all did drugs together and then they paid each other back, although maybe that's underestimating it. They also drank in their offices. And then, the worst thing is that they groomed several students and or field subjects and groomed them sexually, then kind of passed these students around within their circle and even tried to, I mean, this is where the pimped out thing comes out. It's not like they were literally saying like, "Go get me some money." It was more like they were recruiting a new faculty member, and they asked the student to have sex with the new faculty member in order to convince this new faculty member to come to the school.
I mean, that is so astonishing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the idea that they thought that would result in a, a recruit versus
Yeah.
someone running
Well,
away.
I think you got to think of it from like these guys from like okay, so like I come from the perspective where like I always read these stories about industries where it's common for people to like take a client out to a strip club or something like that, and I'm just like mortified by that. Like, I mean,
Yes.
and like the very idea of like I would don't want to fly out, and then like my prospective colleagues are like, "Oh yeah, why don't we go down to the strip club?" Would just be like, "What?" It's like inconceivable in academia. It's not our culture, and it just amazes me that there are industries where it's just taken for granted that people would want to go to a strip club, which and that B, that it would be professional to do so. So, the idea of like even doing something like that, which is legal and doesn't involve anybody who's not consenting or anything like that. And then, these guys are, so, if you come from this like attitude that I would call professionalism and they would probably call stuck up, then it just doesn't make any sense. But if you think of it like these guys obviously, like a subtext to the article is that these guys thought they were cool, And a lot of this is like, aging old rebels who think they're badasses and that they're too good for the rules. And from their perspective, I think they must have thought that this prospective colleague would think like, what an awesome place John Jay College is, where people like to party, and I think that was kind of like how they would consider that part of the sales pitch for recruiting this prospective colleague.
Who would think that? Who would base a lifetime decision, right? "Oh, I'm going to just relocate and begin my career. Let me choose that one person who I met for 10 minutes on a
Yeah.
flyout."
No, it wasn't even a flyout. They wanted the student to go. So they were recruiting someone who worked in Philadelphia, I forget where, and they wanted the student to travel with them down to Philadelphia to have sex with this recruit. And now, I should say that the student refused this particular request, unless I'm mistaken, misremembering the article. But, it was just like an astounding ask. And like Melissa says, it's just like, why would this make sense to people,
I can't even imagine it, thinking that it would reflect well on your department, on your university, on your students, on anything you're trying to convince a potential recruit of. But
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Like, let's say that tomorrow I got a flyout offer to, I don't know,
yeah.
Harvard. And then, like,
their favorite student to you to offer sex.
Yeah, yeah. And then after, you know, there's a knock on my hotel door, I'd be like, I'm going to cancel my meeting tomorrow and get an early flight back to Los Angeles, you know?
How are we supposed to think of our relationship with students? Like, are the students children? Did these professors neglect some type of quasi-parental duty towards the students? Or is it fair game to be discussing drug use or sex use as if these people were just some regular adults? I guess the answer is obvious, isn't it? You can't sexually harass. But what about this idea of insulating the kids or treating them like children? Because that was my first reaction. I was like, these are kids. Why would you
it's crazy.
Do drugs with them or get involved sexually with them? Like they're children under your charge.
I mean, they're not literally children. I mean, they're technically young adults.
I think they were older than your average undergrad.
They were 24 and 21 at the time. So that's younger than I would have expected for, a CUNY school, which tends to attract older students. But yeah.
I think it's the same issue that we have in relationship to junior faculty and senior faculty and, you know, all of the hierarchies that we live within. And this is part of the overall issue, you know, with the Me Too movement and in academia and sociology. We all have to figure out how to mentor, how to support and not exploit.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to do that in all kinds of relationships. There are power structures in everything we exist in, right? And so knowing what's appropriate, I mean, you know, it's maybe it's simpler in the military. It's just stay within rank.
Well, it's not. I mean, because they have plenty of cases where they have to adjudicate in the military.
No, right. No, I know.
We haven't discussed the worst part yet, which is one of the students alleges that as part of being groomed, she was forcibly raped.
Well, that's just criminal. Yeah. That's just criminal. I don't think there's a professional ethics question or a question of, you know, how to properly conduct normal order. That's just a criminal. And
So you're right. I mean, it's the most horrible part, but it's also in some ways the least interesting because it's not worth discussing, right? I mean. Yeah, I mean, you could.
Well, it is worth discussing, but it doesn't have a professional implication, or I think a implication of the professional.
It's a no-brainer, right? You can imagine having a colleague who is dumb enough to think it's cool to smoke weed with students.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think is the most interesting part of this is like, what were these guys thinking? And you know, like I was saying, they very clearly have this idea of, oh, we're cool, we actually understand crime. There does seem to be kind of a subdisciplinary kind of methodological aspect to it where these guys were all qualitative and they kind of you see very clearly that they had contempt for the demographers in the department and basically saying the demographers are a bunch of stuck up assholes. And I should say, I'm not saying this of every ethnographer at John Jay, right? I know another ethnographer at John Jay and he's not named in this report. And I have to imagine that's because he had nothing to do with this, you know, at least for these guys, they seem to have had this attitude of like, oh, you know, you have to experience things, you know, and you can't have so much distance from your thing. And, you know, life isn't just a CSV file.
But still, how does that relate to smoking weed with your students? Were they studying the use of pot smoking among undergraduates? You know,
these guys studied sex work.
Yeah. Okay.
They had a $500,000 grant to study prostitution.
But those were not their, but their students weren't sex workers.
I think one of them actually was a former sex worker, something like that. I might be confusing a couple of different stories. I know there was an allegation from someone who was a former sex worker, and I don't know if that person was also a student or not. But you know, but they definitely, I don't know. They kind of had this attitude of like, we study vice, but you know, we're not so different. We got to understand it. And, you know,
so I that's the part that I'm interested in. We want to sort of shake people's conventional ways of seeing things. And in the course of our work, sometimes we like to press societal values or press on the norms or encourage our students to do so. But where's the line? Like, can we discern any type of early conclusions on the boundaries of professional conduct, or are these guys just beyond the pale? Should we be discussing the positives of drugs, for example?
Well, these guys are obviously beyond the pale. I mean, I don't think it's entirely appropriate.
Yeah. But where's the line?
No, listen, I mean, I would say that people should have the academic freedom to, if you have a class on drug use, to, for instance, talk about that there could be some upsides to marijuana usage. You know, that, for instance, right. it could substitute away from opiates and is less dangerous than opiates, that it has fewer, you know, basically, you could make a good faith argument that marijuana is less of a problem than opiates or alcohol. And, you know, I think that could be an appropriate part of class discussion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's no reason that you should smoke weed with your students. Like, even if you think it's harmless, or there might even be a particular reason why it would actually be good for them to do so, like, just not with you, you know?
Listen, you don't even necessarily have to smoke weed with your students. I give, in my 400 student intro to social class, I poll them. I use GSS questions, mm-hmm. and I ask them, you know, how long has it been since you used an illegal drug? And about 10% of my students in a 10 a.m. class say within the last hour.
Yeah, so Melissa, we'll give you an exemption because you weren't, I understand you're getting a contact high from the back row, but, you know, we're not going to hold you responsible for that because it's not of your choice.
Oh. My response is always, well, I hope you're enjoying
class. And you know what's funny? This is what I always think about this. It's like, you know, Penn is a top school. You know, it's like, these are people who work their ass off to get into Penn, you know, very selective school. And they're not, and I always think, I don't know. I just think, like, it's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Gabriel.
You know, no, at Penn, I think they may be responding. They may be like saying yes to things like Adderall. Whereas when I was at IU, it was definitely, there were some people who just, you know, were waking and baking, but